Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Hey, just so glad to be here tonight. My name is Jack Mancini, and I'm here with my astute partner, Adam Sunhalter. And as usual, on Wednesday nights during the week, Wednesday night is only during the week, isn't it, Adam?
It depends where you're from, Jack. It can be different.
It might be, yeah, with different time zones and different languages. We could probably make Wednesday night on the weekend. Anyway, here we are in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio. We are here to talk about small business stuff, as we do every week. And we usually pull the issues that we're going to talk about from our business coaching experiences. Adam and I, in our day job, have a business coaching company called Maximum Value Partners. Adam and I have been together as business partners for over 15 years. There's not too much we haven't seen in the small business world, and we define small business as 1 to 25 employees in the company size. We do wander off that reservation into bigger size companies, but that's not our desire. We like to help the small business owners. In fact, we love small business and everything it stands for. And we've had a lot of success with much of what we've done with our clients. We know what to do with all of them pretty much. They're the product experts, we're the business experts. And when we come together, we know what to do, and it's just a case of do they want to do it. And when they do, they achieve success defined as growing sustainable profits. As I said earlier, we pulled usually our program content from our business experiences. And sometimes we just talk business in general. And that's what we're going to do tonight. There was an article in last month being August of 2019, concerning the Business Roundtable. It's one of those big, scary institutions where the CEOs of major corporations in the United States get together on a periodic basis and talk big business stuff, and they set policies, and they have their own regulations to join and the mission that they basically abide by. And we read an article about some stuff that they changed in their mission, and what that is basically, you know, they redefined what a corporation is in their mission. And what do you think, Adam? I'm going to ask you, because I won't answer this question. I'm going to let you answer this
question. You are.
Yes, I am. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of a corporation? What is that?
Yeah, that's a question that we want to address tonight, because we have a very simple answer to that. You know, the Business Roundtable folks took about a page to kind of lay out what they define as the purpose of a corporation. And I think Jack and I have talked about this numerous times here on the air, and folks who have met us, we keep it real simple. We can do it in two words. We don't need one page or two page or multiple paragraphs.
The purpose of a corporation is, in two words?
Make profit.
Boy, that doesn't sound too complicated at all. But today, in the year 2019, that word, or those two words, seem to be under assault. And the Business Roundtable might be changing their ways due to pressures, do you think? What kind of pressures might those be?
Well, no, it's a good question. They talk about just a quick little background for our audience if they're not familiar with this. You know, this group will issue statements every once in a while. Over the last 40 years, their statements have been something along the lines of saying, hey, that, you know, creating shareholder value is kind of the primary focus of what a corporation is all about. And so they started to kind of get away from that a little bit with this most recent statement. And they started to use a new word. Instead of shareholders, they started using a word called stakeholders.
Hmm.
Stakeholders, right?
And new word to them.
New word for them in terms of how they're trying to define the purpose of a corporation. And so it gets a little bit more wordy, because then when you start to expand from just shareholders to stakeholders, they're bringing more folks in. And so let me just give you the what they define as the five stakeholders. Okay. Customers, employees, suppliers, communities, and shareholders. So shareholders is still there as one of five that they talk about in terms of who they should be concerned about and trying to benefit. And we think this is absolutely insane. because it's going to make it very difficult for people to focus. You know, one of the things, Jack, that we spend time with clients on all, certainly not, I mean, well, probably is most every meeting, in fact, is to help them prioritize and focus on things. And we're talking about bigger corporations. You got more and more people who are involved with what's kind of going on. And how do you get them to rally? How do you get them to focus on what's the primary goal, the primary focus? Getting, whether it be tens or hundreds or thousands or millions of folks kind of going in that same direction.
Isn't it to create confusion?
That's the goal?
That's the goal. That's the goal to create confusion.
So this is kind of a long, you know, I'm giving a little background before I give some the answer to your question, Jack, because I'm trying to figure out your question, which is, what's changed? So what's changed in the last, and it probably hasn't been in the last 40 years, maybe it's been in the last couple of years, where all of a sudden these bigwig CEOs of big public companies get together and say, hey, we got to change what we're doing. We got to change how we're going about things. And so you mentioned the P word before, Jack. You talked about profit being the P word.
Right.
And how that's often vilified or misunderstood or it's not something that's often talked about. And so why do we say make profit is the purpose of the corporation? Well, as they go through what they determine as the stakeholders, customers, employees, suppliers, communities, and eventually the shareholders. Well, if you're making profit in your corporation, all five of those stakeholders are gonna do well.
That's right. Management is generally responsible, and they're aware of their employees, the community, and they do things. That's why they're so coveted to be headquartered in different cities, because those cities are going to benefit from the benevolence of the big corporations. And they generally, especially the big ones, like make up the round table, are very aware of these kinds of things. If they don't take care of their employees, they're going to be in trouble. You know, they just are. They aren't going to be a profitable, growing company. They're going to probably end up going out of business eventually. Taking care of your employees really is a product of the management, the management policies and processes, and it's obviously a very important. These stakeholders are the core of what a big corporation does well.
Well, it was interesting, Jack. Like you said, this statement came out about a month ago now, and I remember first reading it, and I kind of laughed at it as I was reading through. I'm like, well, duh. I mean, that was kind of like the well, yeah. If you're treating your employees like garbage, if you're not being responsive to your customers, if you're beating the crap out of your suppliers or whatever it's going to be, and if you're a total nuisance in the community, well, yeah. The chances of you having as we define success, Jack, as being a profitable company and sustainable profits, right? If you aren't going to likely get that if you're not serving those stakeholders to be able to use their words. It's kind of like, well, yeah. So why again? So I kind of put it aside for a few weeks, and I'd come back to it again. So I think, why do they feel a need? Why do they feel a need now to kind of put this thing out there?
Well,
why?
You know how we talk around here, and it's political correctness stretching its tentacles to basically big companies and business. They're never ending. Those tentacles just continue to grow, even if you cut one or two of them off. They kind of regenerate themselves. What kind of animal does that? Somebody does that.
An octopus?
An iguana.
Iguana. It's
a
tail. Okay, there you go.
That's right. Thank you, Scotty. Yes, so that's what they do. And it never goes away. At least it hasn't in the last couple of decades here. It just seems to grow and grow in influence out of proportion. So it's very important. You know, focusing on profits. And you have to admit, the corporations in this country know how to make profits, and they do it very well. And one of the big reasons for that is clarity of purpose. You know, if your only objective is to make profits, and here are some boundaries, we're going to do it ethically, we're going to have value to our company and our employees and our community, they do this automatically. But to make profits, you have to be well-focused, laser-focused. To make profits the way corporations do, that's what they have. That's what they're able to do. And it's very important that they stay focused on that, because without profits, they're not going to exist. ultimately, if they get taxed out of existence, and that's possible if you turn stuff over to the government, it's going to really create problems for big businesses and small businesses, which is what we're advocates for.
Well, that's how we often will see the world, as you know, I was saying before, Jack. That's, you know, that's what this, that's how most small business owners operate. And actually what happens is, with most small businesses, is the shareholders typically come last.
That's right.
In terms of, they're often the last ones to be paid, or they're the first ones to maybe to put money back in, to take sacrifices. You know, if somebody is sick or leaves the company, they're often the first ones to take over those duties. Because again, in a small company, you don't have what you have in a big company very often, Jack, which is in the big company, shareholders and management aren't necessarily the same people. Whereas in a small company, that's typically the case. It's typically the shareholders and the managers are typically the same people. Once in a while, it's not the case, but for the most part, and we're talking about small private companies, there, it's typically the same person. So there's a disconnect when it comes to big companies where you've got folks who are managing the business versus folks that own it. And often the folks who own those big public companies are folks like us, you and I,
pension
right?
Pension funds, our, 401ks, all kinds of different financing vehicles are the owners of these companies. So it's like the big greedy corporate executives, and some of them are, there's no question about it, but most of them aren't. Are they overpaid? Boy, is that a tough question to answer. How much should they get? How much should a corporation, a vice president, president, CEO of a big corporation, what should be a fair pay for them? What word did I use, Adam?
Uh-oh. You try to sneak that the F word in, Jack.
that was the F word. That's a true F word, too.
It's four letters, and yeah, it's F-A-I-R. That's and that's often what people say. We'll do tonight. We'll get into this article a little bit, Jack. So I want to talk about kind of how they lay out and kind of describe what they're looking to do. Because I have some questions about it. Because you touched on it in terms of making profit. Then we always have a choice of one of our favorite words, Jack, is a three-letter word, which is H-O-W, how, right?
That's right.
So if we have a focus on making profit as our prime focus, well, the question becomes then, how do you go about doing that? How do you go about making a profit? And you touched on, hey, there's ways we go about doing it in terms of being ethical and doing things a certain way. But each company can define how they want to go about making those profits. And the ones that are doing it, I guess we could say the right way versus the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
are going to be the ones that are going to be profitable and sustainable and will be there long term. Whereas the folks who, again, if they're looking at solely just profit alone, and they're saying, forget everything else, we're just going to do, we're going to squeeze to such a point where as part of that, we're going to abuse our employees or abuse our customers or abuse our suppliers in different ways, or not being caring about the community around us. Well, yeah, at that point, what's going to happen is likely that the free market that we're talking about here in the U.S., Jack, is pretty efficient. And what they'll do is they'll put you out of business because you aren't doing the right things. It'll be hard to retain, or once you get a bad reputation, to then be able to find good employees or good customers. People are going to step away from what your business is doing because in their minds you aren't doing it the right way.
That's
to be able
right.
to make profits.
With social media being what it is too, there's instant judgment. Often that judgment is faulty. I mean, to the complexities of running a running any business really, but especially a large corporation, the ones that make up the business roundtable. It's complex, difficult to summarize in a couple of paragraphs. People without business training just can't evaluate correctly what's going on. And that's where you get profits being maligned for God knows what reason. It's inequities that exist relative to the social justice in this company, our country. And it's spilling its way onto business now in a bigger, much bigger way. Social media allows that to happen. So the rules are changing. I think, and we're going to talk more about this tonight, the Business Roundtable is feeling the pressure. And they have to try to clarify the very complexity of trying to run a company by using the word stakeholders rather than shareholders, I think. That's my opinion.
All right, so we're going to delve further into this. We'll get into some of the details of their statement and do a lot more and share some stories of what it means for you as a small business owner. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And if you want to be part of the program, 440-946-9468. I'm Jack Mancini.
We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I am Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight about what's the purpose of a corporation. We're referring back to an article about a month ago that was released by a group of public company CEOs that call themselves a Business Roundtable. And you can find it at, and we'll put a link in our show notes here for the podcast for where to find the article. But if you go to businessroundtable.org, you'll be able to see it there. But I want to kind of start with kind of going through this. It's only, like I said, it's only a page long, so it's not a long statement, Jack.
Okay, good. No.
I think there are certain things here that we can all probably agree upon, right? So if I start with the first paragraph, Americans deserve an economy that allows each person to succeed through hard work and creativity and to lead a life of meaning and dignity.
There's a TV commercial which talks about Captain Obvious. What do you think? might Captain Obvious have written that? Is it a paragraph?
That's the first sentence, but the second sentence too, right? So I agree. It's like, okay, yeah, we agree with that. We believe the free market system is the best means of generating good jobs, a strong and a sustainable economy, innovation, a healthy environment, and economic opportunity for all.
Captain Obvious again.
Yeah, okay.
Still,
so we say yes.
Pen.
That seems pretty good. Okay, so that's the first paragraph. Okay, so far so good. Yep. Businesses play a vital role in the economy by creating jobs, fostering innovation, and providing essential goods and services. So I stopped there. They got three things they have listed there, Jack. They have creating jobs, fostering innovation, and providing essential goods and services.
Jeez, we never heard that one before.
Well, I'm trying to prioritize. Well, if we had to pick one, because I'm all about prioritizing, especially for tonight's show. I mean, isn't the third one that they have there, the providing essential goods and services, isn't that where it all starts?
I believe so. That's been my understanding all my life. So
there's a demand for, whether it be, however you define essential, I'm not gonna argue that. But again, there's a demand for some goods and services. You say, hey, somebody wants to buy this stuff. So do I want to produce it or not? Can I find a way to produce it and make a profit on that, right? So it starts there versus, I can't think of too many entrepreneurs. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, Jack. But we've had a number of them here on our show over the years too, to be able to kind of share their stories. I'm trying to remember one of them that started out their story, Jack, that said, "Hey, you know, I was sitting around one day, Jack, and I had this epiphany. You know what my epiphany was, Jack? I wanted to create jobs."
Boy, isn't that that's one of those altruistic myths.
So I'm not misremembering stuff. You don't recall anybody we've met that's kind of said something like that?
Well, when
they're starting their company.
I'll try to get it before the show's over.
Okay.
In the next 40 minutes.
But that's the first thing that they have listed here, Jack, is creating jobs. And then the second thing they have is fostering innovation. And, okay, fostering innovation. That's a pretty broad thing. If I recall, too, I think we've maybe touched on this here on the show at some point. I know we have off the air. We've got a lot of institutions here, a lot of higher education institutions here in this country, Jack. And many of them get grants and government money to do exactly that, right? Work on fostering innovation. Some of the brightest minds in the world supposedly reside in the ivory towers of a lot of our universities here in the U.S. And they're often funded with grant money to help foster innovation because they don't have the pressure of having to be in a for-profit business. They can have time to develop some of these things. It might take years or decades for it to kind of happen, right?
You're right. Right.
Now, some of the bigger companies will do that, too, in terms of fostering innovation. But a lot of small companies do that as well. It's often making some small tweaks to things in order to better service and provide a better product or service or a new product or service.
Sure, there's more flexibility, quick reactions. You can assess the merits of these opportunities much faster, much better in many cases.
So, again, the first paragraph we agree with, as you said, Jack, it's like Captain Obvious. Okay, that's good.
You got it, right.
And then I start to get to the second paragraph, the first sentence I just went through, and I'm starting to scratch my head going, Again, just the ordering of how they kind of listed it out. Why are they listing it that way? Okay, well, let me keep reading the second paragraph. Because I'm going to probably get back to your captain thing here again. So let me see if I strike him again.
Let's see if it, yeah.
Businesses make and sell consumer products, manufacture equipment and vehicles, support the national defense, grow and produce food, provide health care, generate and deliver energy, and offer financial, communications, and other services that underpin economic growth. Is that another Captain Obvious one?
It sure does to me. I didn't know so they did anything else.
So
what else? Well, go on. Well,
no, so here we are. We've got two paragraphs so far, Jack, and we've got a Captain Obvious and a Captain Obvious sandwiching between something that's kind of making me scratch my head a little bit about this whole kind of creating jobs and fostering innovation and, okay, versus providing the essential goods. Okay, so I'm wondering, okay, what's going on? Maybe they're going to get into it now. Again, they've kind of softened things up. I'm thinking, okay, you haven't told me anything yet, Jack. Okay, let's see. All right, here's the third paragraph. While each of our individual companies, again, this is the CEOs of big companies, folks, that have signed this. That's who's talking. So while each of our individual companies serves its own corporate purpose,
okay.
I'm not sure what that means. Let me finish a sentence. We share a fundamental commitment to all of our stakeholders. So they're trying to unify themselves, right, to a certain extent, even though they're separate, right? They tell, hey, while each of our individual companies serves, I don't know what its own corporate purpose means. I'm not sure if you know what that means.
They have their own mission. It's going to differ from somebody else's.
Okay.
It's the job of the CEO, the management, the board, to allocate resources in a big corporation, and they're all going to do it differently. One of the last things we want to see is the government dictating how much you should give to charity, what your profit margins, et cetera, should be. But I would say that's, you know, the differing purposes.
Okay, so is that maybe if I use our three-letter word of how, is that kind of more of the how in terms of they define as their corporate purpose? That's how they're going to go about doing it, perhaps? That's probably maybe what they're referring to?
Yeah, perhaps.
So it's going to be different. Sounds,
right, exactly.
Because each of the 181, you know, CEOs is going to be a little different. Obviously, the companies that they represent are a little bit different. So okay.
That's right.
All right. So now, here we get to the meat of it now, Jack, okay? And these are all bullet points coming up. And so they say, we commit to, and they go through as we go through the five areas, okay? So we commit to, and again, here's the order. Number one, delivering value to our customers.
Wow.
We will.
Why would they want to do something like that?
Hold on. Let me read. This is just one bullet point here. So delivering value to our customers. It says, we will further the tradition of American companies leading the way in meeting or exceeding customer expectations. Okay? Now, this is just the first bullet point. Kind of comes back to as they were laying out the five, right? Remember, they had customers number one, which is what this is now. They have customers number one. And they also had some comments by some of these CEOs that were added to this. I'm not sure how they figured out which of the 181 were able to do it, but somehow they kind of snuck in there. We've got actually the president and CEO of a local company here, Jack, Progressive Corporation.
Oh, okay.
She was part of the statement. Her name is Tricia Griffith. Tricia Griffith with Progressive, and she said something I completely disagree with. But let me see. Okay, so she says CEOs work to generate profits and return value to shareholders, but the best run companies do more. They put the customer first. Huh? I have a question here. I said why? Why put the customer first? Something I think we've tried to debunk here on the air, Jack, which is people always say the customer's always right.
That's another something statement like that keeps surviving. That's right. Customer, you need a customer. You need somebody buying your stuff, that's for sure. But they don't dictate what the company does. They aren't always put first. Your employees will be put first in many cases, as they should be. We can argue these priorities, can't we? That's why each individual company has differing cultures, differing outcomes. Those things are prioritized by the CEO and the management team, and they're going to turn out different. But yes, that's a big one.
Well, and again, so this again seems like a Captain Obvious moment. We'll keep having
yes,
a theme.
We're
gonna
have
a Captain Obvious theme here for a lot of these things. But it's okay. So they're going to. Again, delivering value. Who can argue to be able to deliver value to the customers? Okay, the key is how do you go about doing that, and kind of where does that fit? As we're starting to get into this, well, you know, this is the first of the five, right? And I want to kind of get this thing set up. We're talking
and,
about
and
it.
These are prioritized.
Well, it seems like it. Again, as they order these things, they didn't say it's prioritized this way. But again, as you know, this press release was looked over and had 85 different cuts at it. What was kind of going on? They're very particular about what they ordered where, guaranteed, right? So we'll get into the other four after our break. We want to kind of give some thought to this in terms of how does it mean for you? Again, as you're looking at your business, and you look at and if you have stakeholders, because you have stakeholders too that are customers and employees and suppliers and the community and you as shareholders, how do you balance all those things? And how do you keep things straight? We have an answer for that. Stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
If you want to be part of the program, let me say again, 440-946-9468.
And stick around.
I'm Jack Mancini.
Sorry about that, Jack. Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, wintradio.com. These eyes. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight about a purpose of a corporation. We're going through a recent release by a group called the Business Roundtable. It talks about committing to their stakeholders. In the last segment, we talked about the first set here, which is talking about delivering value to customers. Customers are the first set of stakeholders. Let me get into the next set of stakeholders here, Jack, which is the employees. Here's what they say in their statement. Investing in our employees. Again, this is a key fundamental commitment to them is that they're going to invest in their employees. They say this starts with compensating them. Ready, Jack? Compensating them fairly.
Oh boy.
And providing important benefits. Important benefits. Okay. We'll come back to that in a second. It also includes supporting them through training and education that helps develop new skills for a rapidly changing world. And they finish it with saying, "We foster diversity and inclusion." Dignity and respect.
Wow.
Wow is right. There's a mouthful there, isn't there?
Yep. Sure
so
is.
I think I agree with the second sentence, Jack. It also includes supporting them through training and education that helps develop new skills for a rapidly changing world. And we see that with a lot of our clients. In fact, I just came back from a client last week where they spent an average $2,500 a year to help train their employees. To invest in their employees, make their employees better, makes their employees better, which also makes the company better. But at the same time, if those employees decide to leave, they take that, training with them. They leave, that walks out the door from
that,
right?
That's right. That's a common complaint with a lot of companies. The company itself will underwrite an MBA or specialized training, and that makes the employee with that newfound title, newfound training, more valuable, and they end up leaving the company at a better pay rate, and that's the way the world works. So what do? You don't train, you have issues. You do train, you have issues. That's often the case with many, many decisions with the corporation.
It's about finding that good balance.
They resolve them. Yeah. Go on, Scott.
It's about finding that good balance, that common ground between, training enough and getting them to a higher level skill-wise, but then at the same time, knowing that they have the ability to move up to a new location, new company, new business, because, ultimately you're giving them more skills. So they're going to realize that they might be able to move up in business as well. In business, you're talking about employees, you're talking about the customers, you're talking about stakeholders. This is like the whole idea that we have going tonight.
Well, that's the term they're changing. They're trying to change shareholders to
stakeholders. Yeah, for sure. And it's a fine line. It's a different definition, in my opinion.
Sure.
Changing it to stakeholders. And, at the same time, there's more going into, stakeholders and more ideas generated when you talk about stakeholders rather than shareholders.
Right.
So there's a lot going on. There's many different facets, many different ways, and a lot of things are coming in and out. So
there always has been, there always will be. What this comes down to is who should be making the decisions.
I agree.
Should the government, should the different stakeholder factions, for companies in trouble, should we raise everyone's prices because the employees are undervalued? Should we cut?
For sure.
What should we do? Who makes these decisions?
And ultimately,
you muddle it up.
It's the business owner.
Well, the business should be, and that's what this this change in mission of the roundtable is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening that up to Pandora's box. Because
yeah, for sure.
There's a fellow who writes in today's paper, today's paper being the Wall Street Journal, dated September 18.
Yeah, for sure. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Richard Schinder. And he talks about the confusion that this new mission of the roundtable is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have government intervention. You're going to have activist groups that will start to continue to encroach on the management of these companies. And mm-hmm. I believe when I read this article, I believe he hits it right on the head. There's going to be a lot of confusion. How do you make those trade-offs? And right now the system has worked very well through the years. There's inequities, there's abuses, of course, with anything.
Try to eliminate the abuse and then,
our country is second to none in terms of having the formula for prosperity and raising all boats. And it's good stuff. It's a good article, good timely article.
I agree.
And it hits a point.
I'll put a link to that Wall Street Journal article that you're referencing, Jack. I'll put that in the show notes. Let me just come back to this again. Investing our employees, I think we can all agree upon that. It certainly makes sense. They've left themselves enough wiggle room in terms of when they say compensating them fairly and providing important benefits. I guess that's in their words. Those are judgment words in terms of you determine what you think is fair. You determine what you think is important when it comes to a benefit standpoint. And it gives them the flexibility to say, hey, we're all doing this, and now we define, I guess, again, their own corporate purpose. They'll be able to define how they define those things. Let me get to their next statement here, which is the third component, which is the suppliers, right? So here's what they say about suppliers. And it comes up again, Jack, the four-letter word.
Oh, no.
Dealing fair.
Cover my ears. Well,
they made it a six-letter word, but it's really the four-letter word. Dealing fairly and ethically with our suppliers. They say, we are dedicated to serving as good partners to other companies, large and small, that help us meet our missions. Now, we have a lot of, for those of you who are new to the show or haven't heard our backgrounds, Jack and I both spent several decades between the two of us with big corporations. We have good insight into how big corporations work, what they do. Not only that, we've also had lots of experience with big corporations with our own businesses, with our clients and their businesses who have big corporations as customers of theirs. And just about 100% of the big corporations are tremendously awful customers for small businesses, especially when it comes to this whole idea of being a good partner. Because good partners don't buy your products or services and make you wait 4 months to get paid for those things.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Where most people, when we deal with business in the small business world, people usually pay within terms of usually 15, maybe 30 days between when you purchase a product or service. And no matter what you think your term should be, the big corporations always kind of scoff and laugh at you, say, that's interesting, throw it in the garbage and say, hey, we don't pay anything for 90 days or 120 days. That's how we do stuff. So you know what, Jack? Amen to this. If they're gonna start to live by this stuff and really change how they're doing it, amen to that. That's fantastic. I can't wait to see that. Because I think we should take, as a small business owner, you should have this. If you're dealing with big corporate customers, take this and put it back in their face. Say, hey, what kind of big corporation are you? Especially if their CEO is signing this. Say, hey, how is that making you a good partner where you're making me play the bank for you? Here I am, a small business. You're a big corporation with all kinds of resources I don't have, yet I got to be the bank for you. What, are you kidding me?
You're right. You can tell that Adam is very passive on this subject.
He sounds adamant to me.
That's right. So it's a big deal, folks. And so are they going to live by this? I'd love to see them live by this, Jack. To really be good partners, because they are not good partners typically at all.
Yeah, they increase the top line, and that's nice. But in terms of basically accommodating the small business owner, more often than not, they don't in a normal course of running their business. At least from our experiences, and our experiences are pretty broad.
All right, so their fourth point, Jack, that the fourth stakeholder here is the community. Right. So here's what they say about the communities, Jack. Supporting the communities in which we work. We respect the people in our communities and protect the environment by embracing sustainable practices across our businesses. I've read that about 17 times, Jack, and I'm still scratching my bald head going, what in the heck are they talking about here? So I'm trying to picture different words that are here. And, The environment. The environment gets mentioned in here. Protecting the environment. Sustainable practices. Respecting the people. Again, that's
a very politically correct statement, isn't it?
It is,
and
completely.
And the explanation is very politically
that's
correct.
That's probably why I'm confused. I'm trying to read this thing. It's not
registering the way it should. I understand.
I'm trying to figure out how many months it took them to put this statement together, Jack, where they want to put it out there, and they trumpet it like it's all this fantastic stuff, and yet it's not saying a lot. So, all right, so then before we get to our next break here, I want to go through the fifth part here, because I want to get through this, because we're almost done with it, because we can then talk more about it and help that also provide some perspective here, Jack, in terms of how we would guide people on this. So their fifth stakeholder is the shareholders, right? And remember, that was always the focus before this, but now they've gone from being number one to now being one of five, and really five of five is what it seems like here. So they say, look, our fifth point here is generating long-term value for shareholders who provide the capital, let's come back to that in a second, Jack, who provide the capital that allows companies to invest, grow, and innovate. We are committed to transparency and effective engagement with shareholders.
Wow, so okay. That's written with what in mind? To genuflect to something, that's really what that article, what that change says.
Well, I like, and I underline the idea of long-term value for shareholders, because that's fantastic. You know, part of my beef with public companies, I think a lot of people have the same issue, especially folks who are managing them, is there's often a very short-term focus. You know, it's the short-term focus on a quarter-by-quarter basis, especially.
That's right.
Where they're trying to make sure that they meet their numbers, folks. What that mean is they'll forecast how they're going to be doing for the year, for the quarter, and they're trying to make sure that they manage the company to kind of meet those numbers. And so often there are things that they're doing that they get so focused on just that short-term piece that they might lose sight of this whole long-term piece. And so I guess if the long-term value for shareholders means that, okay, we're going to make more decisions that we're thinking long-term and the overall impact on this stuff versus just thinking short-term, immediate, today, this week, this month, this quarter profits. I think that's probably a good thing, Jack, because, again, as we counsel our clients, you know, if you're trying to build something that's going to last, it's going to survive beyond you as an owner starting a company, how do you do that? Well, if you're constantly thinking in those terms of, again, today and this week and this month, and you're not thinking in longer 5-10-year chunks, it becomes hard to make decisions sometimes, because if you aren't keeping that perspective in mind, you're often going to go the wrong way. Something that might be a little bit easier because it's right here in front of you versus, no, I'm going to take the tougher road, or maybe that road less traveled, so to speak, because it's going to impact and it's going to have a better impact long term for us in terms of the overall value of the business, in terms of what's going on.
That's why profits are getting such a bad name. They're being not abused, that's not the right word, but the short-term focus doesn't balance out the long-term needs of communities and shareholder or employees and vendors and stakeholders, as they're calling these stakeholders. The balance has to be there. And when you focus hard on short-term, there's going to be more disruption, if you will, to the community, more disruption to the organization itself in terms of trying to create balance.
Right.
Balance is the key word.
Well, they wrap this thing up with, here's their statement. There's their final stake in the ground, right? It says, each of our stakeholders is essential. We just went through those five, right? We commit to deliver value to all of them for the future success of our companies and communities, our communities and our country. So they kind of finish up on a higher note, kind of more patriotic is what you almost want to kind of make it feel like. It's like, again, we're back to Captain Obvious again, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they kind of they have that Captain Obvious sandwich going on here again in terms of the full article, in terms of how they're looking at stuff. But it's, again, they're committing this stuff. So they put a few things out there. Again, why? We have our sense of why in terms of political pressures that are out there, the political correctness in terms of what they're trying to do. They're trying to pacify folks, trying to change people's image of business in terms of they aren't all evil corporations. You know, it's not like Dr. Evil and, you know, or it's just we're all about things and not worried about the impact of folks around us. It's almost like I put a little heart here, Jack. It's almost like they're trying to put a heart back into the small business, or I'm sorry, into big business.
Good way to put it, because that's what it does feel like, isn't it?
And we know that heart is a big part of what the small business is about, because what happens with a small business is all these stakeholders we're talking about, these are just often numbers on a piece of paper to big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
right? Whether it be employees, whether it be the customers, whether it be the vendors, whether it be the folks in the community, okay? Whether it actually be the shareholders themselves. They're just, they're concepts often for the big companies. Whereas for small business, these are real people. These are real situations. These are real things that are kind of going on. So that heart is going to be there. But we've got an answer, folks. We have an answer to help you figure, get through all the muck of this stuff in terms of what you got to focus on to help make sure that you're doing what's important for your corporation. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mincini.
And stick around. We've got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. I don't hear words saying. All right, all right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mincini, and we're on the last leg, aren't we, Adam?
Yes, we are, Jack. We're talking about what the purpose of a corporation is here tonight. We're talking about it as it relates to the Business Roundtable statement, what they say is the purpose of a corporation. We've kind of gone through this a little bit here to start with, Jack, and we've got to the point now where they've laid out the five different stakeholders. And we could have a discussion and an argument back and forth about which of those five are most important, right? And we, you know, our opinions might be the same or a little bit different or varied. And if we had 10 people in this room who are small business owners, Jack, and you ask them, you could make a case for almost any one of those as being the most important. And they could probably share stories about it, right? They could share stories about, here's why I say employees are number one. They'll share a story with you. It's a heartbreaking story about employees that have gone above and beyond all kinds of stuff. You have employees that have, you know, done just tremendous things for them, right? Or you have a... They may say, hey, it's suppliers, right? In my business, Jack, if I can't get the supply down, and boy, let me tell you about this one time the supplier really saved the day. Did this, this, and this. Also, they're going to share a story with you about it, right? Or they may say it's customers, right? If we have nobody to sell stuff to, we don't have customers, you know, we don't have a business, and so here's what we do, and here's why, you know, why it makes sense from a customer standpoint. You know, well, they say the community, it'd be hard, I think it'd be hard to argue with that community is number one in terms of what they would see as an impact. My guess is that probably number five in the list of five.
Well, you'd have community activists who would be constantly, tugging the sleeves of the corporate executives for more money. You know, you aren't giving us enough. You aren't a good corporate citizen. I have a question, though, on all this stuff.
Knock it out, Jack. What do you got?
My question is, I don't want to start my question with that. Aren't they already doing this stuff? This stuff should be incorporated. Good customer treatment, good employees, good community citizen, all these kinds of things. I thought that they were doing these things. So we get 181 of the biggest corporations in the world, or at least the U.S., and basically they're telling us that they're going to be doing these things. Is that the nature of this? I thought they were doing them already. Well, so what are they doing if they aren't doing them?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think they're talking about how they're committing to these things, Jack, or maybe they're recommitting to it, right? But, again, they talk about the commitment. We share a fundamental commitment. So maybe they had discussions over periods of years and these are the five things we come across, your point, that have helped us be successful. But I guess what...
They're all admitting that they're shy on treating their employees the best possible way.
Well, is it talking about what maybe their key to successes have been, perhaps? I guess part of my point, though, with this is I don't know that that's not the right discussion to be having. As a small business owner, how do I know what to focus on? Again, I guess we can make a case for any one of those five, perhaps, as being
the
most important, right? Versus going, wait a minute. If we say make profit, kind of clear the table, okay, making profit.
It brings clarity to everything.
Well, let's come back to our favorite three-letter word, Jack, of how, H-O-W. How do you do that? And we have a very simple answer for that, Jack.
Make profits.
Well, how do you make profits? You focus on seven keys.
Oh, my God, yes.
Right?
No argument there.
The seven keys to success we've talked about on this show before, folks, that's how we guide and mentor our clients to talk about in terms of, because they often have the same questions, like, what do I do? I have so many things coming at me day to day. How do I make sense of all these things? How do I know what to focus on? How do I know what to prioritize stuff? And so we talk about the seven keys to success. And if you're new to the show, you can take a look at our website, MaximumVP.com. There's a menu there that says MVP Playbook. And one of the links underneath there is the seven keys to success. You go to that page, there's a nice little PDF you can download or print off and have it there. We'll touch on these things quickly tonight, Jack. But those seven keys are what we've identified. And again, it comes starting from our big corporate backgrounds, Jack, of things we've been involved in to see, as you mentioned earlier, that big corporations are very good at making profits.
Right.
And so we try to take a lot of stuff that we learn in the big corporations, put it through a big sieve, right, a big strainer, and say, let's pull out the really key essential items that are part of the core of how you go about making sustainable profits for your business. And we've boiled it down to those seven keys, Jack, and it talks about, number one is the vision. What are we trying to do? Again, big pictures we were talking about in the last segment. You got to look out 5, 10 years, think about, what are we trying to accomplish here?
That's that long-term look that you were talking about before, that profits are generally one of the problems with them. They're focused only on the short term,
right,
not the long term.
So we got to have a sense of what that looks like.
Right.
What are we trying to do? And it doesn't matter if you're a year into your business or 20 years in your business. It doesn't matter. You're still thinking about, okay, you are where you are. Where are you trying to go? And there's no right or wrong answer to it, but it's important to sort of put that stake in the ground and say, here's what we're trying to do. And we quickly then say, okay, that's a good framing of things. Let's look at shorter term. Let's look at the next year and what's the next year going to look like. And when we talk about what's the next year going to look like in terms of business, Jack, the only way we know how to think about this is in terms of a profit plan.
Right.
And do I say the awful six-letter word?
Say it.
Budget?
Oh, well, you can say it for a frame of reference.
That's what people often refer to it as, is in terms of we're forecasting out all of our revenue and expenses for the next 12 months to say, here's how we're going to make a profit. We're going to be able to see it on paper. We're going to be able to see, here's what it looks like in terms of dollars and cents. To say, hey, we're going to have a successful year or not a successful year based on us trying to hit this plan, to be able to make our profit plan. So it's, again, coming back to our two-word definition of what the purpose of a corporation is to make profit. So how do you do that? Well, you sort of focus on purpose. You sort of forecast out, can I show a profit on paper? Here's what I think I'm going to be doing. And it's funny, we're going to be given a course here in a couple weeks, a Jumpstart here in Cleveland, that's talking about how do you forecast the business. And we're going to take people through. It's a five-week course, a couple hours a week to kind of go through to, hey, come in today, come back, you get done 5 weeks now, you're going to have a forecast in the next 12 months to kind of see, here's how we're going to be able to make money. So it's keeping that focus on the profit side of stuff, right?
It's almost like the Dave Ramsey plan that he has laid out.
Yeah,
it's very similar. You know, he talks about a profit plan. That's very important. The snowball effect, those are some of the things that he talks about. It's almost like what I like to think is the three V's: vision, valor, victory. Very important things that you need to have in order to see that plan come into the future. You know, you have to be looking long term, like Jack and you, Adam, have said throughout the night. It's very, you know, future oriented but still present moment. It's very important that you see these things in the fold. Marathon,
that's,
not a sprint.
That's correct. That's why. That's what this is all about.
Well, and our profit plan directs all the activity. That's what it's going to show. It shows all the activity kind of going on. It shows everything happening in your business, from the customers, from the employees, from the suppliers, from the community. Everything that goes on is represented there. So it comes back to what these, you know, they've identified as the five stakeholders here. Again, this is going to show all those things in terms of part of your profit plan. It's a beautiful document that kind of starts to show these things. And as we get through the rest of our seven keys, it starts giving you more definition in terms of how those things are going to start to happen. So the third key in terms of the marketing plan, which helps us identify how those sales are going to happen. How are we going to bring sales into the business, okay? And the fourth key of the organization plan of who's doing all this stuff. Come back to the employees. Okay, well, what kind of employees do we need? How are we going to train the employees and invest them so that they can fill different roles? So me as an owner of a small company, you know, where I'm doing so many things, wearing so many of those proverbial hats every day, how do I start handing off some of those hats to somebody else? Well, I got to do it to people that are trained and they're good. If I find good people, I'll continue to train them and give them more things to be able to do so that we can sort of see how the organization starts to grow and things start to happen quickly. As a leader, key number five is leadership. Okay, so you as a leader, you know, whether you think of yourself as a leader or not, if you own a company, you're by default a leader. You're the leader of the business. Okay, people are looking at you all the time. Look at you for direction and guidance in terms of the culture, in terms of what kind of culture and feel do you want to have as part of the organization. So, again, some of these, you know, something like this could fit into that very well, Jack. This whole statement, saying here's what we believe, here's what we're about. Okay, we're trying to take care of these folks. You could talk about it from that standpoint, but again, it's got to be framed around the idea of being able to make profit. Because if you aren't making the profit, things
aren't
going to go well.
Nothing good can happen. That's right. Something has to be the generator of paying for all these ideas and product development and payrolls and good community citizens, and something has to pay for that. Well, what is it? It's profits.
That's right. And that drives our sixth key, which is the cash flow, Jack. Right? If you have no profits, it's tough to find cash. I mean, you can go borrow money, you can run up bills on your credit cards, you can borrow money from friends and family, you can find ways to get it, but eventually those resources run out. because it's not sustainable to keep going and borrowing money and without being able to make profits to be able to pay off those debts. And
that's
so the cash flow becomes very, very important to see. And then the last key we have there is presenting. Presenting what's kind of going on. It could be presenting to anybody. You should be presenting to your customers. You should be presenting to your employees. Presenting to your suppliers. Presenting to the folks out in the community. So presenting to your shareholders. You can present to all those folks, but here's what the plan's going to be, and you get them excited. But if you're laying out a plan that says, hey, we're going to address all this stuff. We're going to do a lot of the things that are laid out here in this statement, Jack. But we don't talk about how we're going to make profit doing that. Well, are we a nonprofit now? Are we a charity? Are we a government agency? What are we?
Might be moving to that. That's the first start, unfortunately. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't look at this as something to applaud. It's stuff that they should already be doing and be incorporated into their company. So this thing just opens the box for trouble and chaos down the line, I think. But that's only one man's opinion.
Well, it's an important opinion for us because we're curious to see how it's going to impact stuff. So if you're thinking about this, as you kind of getting to the point of wrapping up the show here, Jack, because we're getting to the point now where you're dealing with some big corporations. Maybe you have some friends or family that work at big corporations. What are they talking about? If we're here on this show, Dirty Secrets of Small Business, talking about this, Jack, and we're focused on small business stuff, what about the folks that are living it? What are they thinking about? What are they trying to make happen? How are they making sense of this? How are they prioritizing all this stuff? And if they aren't doing it, saying, "Hey, we got to make sure we make profits," if they're forgetting about that, and again, if that's what their mindset was of focusing on shareholders as number five, it's going to get probably lost in the shuffle. We'll probably see some companies not doing so well, is my guess, but time will tell. All right.
You're out of breath.
I can't rant anymore because we're out of time, Jack.
No,
appreciate you being part of this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you have any questions in between, you can shoot us an email at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call 877-849-0670. We have a new Facebook page called Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Please go to that page and like it. It'd be fantastic. We'd love to see you there. If you missed any of today's show or prior shows, you can get them on our website of dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. And all the archives are there. You can subscribe to it on things like iTunes and get it right to your smart device. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
People stopping still. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes.